Hello, friends. It's me, the president of Chickenlandia. Did you know that I have a new book that is now available for purchase? You heard that right. It's called Let's All Keep Chickens, The Down-to-Earth Guide to Natural Practices for Healthier Birds and a Happier World. It's now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and more. For more information on how you can grab your copy, just click the link in the show notes. It's so exciting, I can barely handle it. Okay, on with the show. Hey guys, before we start the episode, I just want to acknowledge that this podcast sounds a little bit different. There was a problem with the sound when I was recording it, but it's full of a lot of good information, so I still wanted to put it out there for you. I hope you enjoy it anyway. Here you go.
Welcome to Chickenlandia's 100% friendly podcast, Bok Talk. This show will help you learn all about how backyard chicken keeping can be fun, entertaining, and stress-free. Here's your host, the president of Chickenlandia!
Hey guys, welcome to Chickenlandia, and welcome to Bok Talk, your 100% friendly backyard chickens show. It's great to be with you guys here today. Thank you so much for the people that are here on YouTube, in the chat, and thank you to those who are listening on the podcast. Today, we're talking about a heated topic. And yes, that is a pun. pun intended. Caring for chickens in winter. So, I debated on whether or not to cover this topic today because I literally just put a video out about it this week. If you haven't checked that out, you definitely should. It is called How to Keep Your Chickens Alive in Winter. And yes, I was a little bit dramatic for this one, okay? Because I really wanted people to watch it. Super important video, probably one of the most important videos that I've ever done on my channel. And I think you should go watch it, but not right now. Right now, let's talk. Today, I'm going to be answering a question that was submitted through my website, welcometochickenlandia.com. If you would like to submit your question to possibly be answered on Bok Talk, then go to my website, welcometochickenlandia.com, go to the contact section and choose Ask a Chicken Question. And then a little thing will pop up and you can put your question in there. I love to hear from you guys. I get lots and lots of questions. I can't answer all of them, but I do try to keep in contact with most people. So I just love to hear from you. All right, so let's say hello to some of the people in the chat today. I see Angelique is here. Thank you so much for being here. Deborah Bjornson is here. Virginia Oakley. Lori Jacobs is here. I see you have a question. I will get to that towards the end of the show. So Lavender Lane Farm is one of the producers of this podcast, along with myself. She is my consultant. She is a wealth of chicken knowledge. So you can, if you have just a question that you feel like you can't wait to get the answer, you can tag her and she will help. And 13 Moons Homestead, another trusted moderator, is here for us today. All right, so let's just get right into the topic today. Like I said, I was like, oh, you know, should I talk about this more? Since I just put a video out about it, but this is a really important topic and I wanted to give people just an opportunity to ask questions here and also answer one of my listener questions. You will notice that when it comes to caring for chickens in winter, a lot of the information that you will get, especially in terms of whether or not you should heat your coop, which is very controversial. Like we don't have enough to argue about. So let's argue about that. But a lot of the information out there is not it's not completely balanced. And it's not that it's bad information, because most of it is correct. But it usually, like when I see people going onto a Facebook page or asking in a forum or even on YouTube, I will see that people really don't consider that there are many variations when it comes to how people are keeping chickens. So, you know, the climate that you're in is not all the same. Even just here, even just in Washington, we have very different climates. It's a lot colder in eastern Washington than it is where I live. Of course, you know, people have different breeds of chickens, and they have chickens for different purposes. Some people are keeping super fancy birds all together. They might have not just chickens in their flock, but other kinds of poultry. And so these are all things that are really important to consider when you are thinking about how, just in general, how to care for your flock across the board. And I do get challenged. I want to say frustrated, but I don't want to seem like I have a bad attitude. But I do get challenged when I see people being very rigid with their advice, and saying there's only one way to do this, when there's so many different and valid ways to keep chickens, and everyone's situation is different. So in the interest of being balanced and in educating everybody, I just want you to have the best information. And I want to talk about a few different scenarios. You know, the biggest question that people ask when it comes to taking care of your chickens in winter is, do I need to heat my coop? And I know I talked about this in the video, but I'm going to talk about it now too. Across, usually what you will get, you know, almost across the board is no, there is never a reason to heat your coop, and which is mostly correct. It is rare that you would need to heat your coop, especially if you have, you know, a younger flock of chickens. Let's say they're not like super old and they are cold hardy chickens. And, you know, you have a good setup and you're in a climate that where it's easy to control the moisture. You have good ventilation in your coop, because remember, and I talk about this a lot, in the winter, it is moisture and not temperature that is the enemy. So the main thing that you want to do in the winter is make sure that there is good ventilation in your coop. But, and this is the trick, that it's not drafty where they are roosting, because you don't want that. Obviously, where they're roosting, it you don't want it to be super windy and cold, and for them to catch a chill, you don't want that. But you do want to have good ventilation in the winter, because you want the coop to be really dry in the winter. When you have too much moisture or condensation building up in your coop, that's when you will run into problems like frostbite. Respiratory issues is a big one in the winter, and you don't want that. So my main thing is make sure you have really good ventilation. But there are circumstances. And, you know, the main one being that if you keep just running into problems, like if you are dealing with frostbite, if you are dealing with recurrent respiratory problems, if you are having a really hard time, despite your best efforts, controlling the amount of moisture that is in your coop, then, you know, you might have to consider a safe way to supplement heat. And what I recommend for people is to use a radiant panel heater. And these types of heaters, they're not made to like heat your whole coop. And they don't have like the super hot surface that if it comes in contact with the many things in your coop that could catch fire if it comes in contact with something really hot, like a heat lamp. I don't recommend heat lamps, even though, you know, they're cheap, and I hate that they're so accessible, but I can't recommend them. They're just too much of a fire hazard. Just too much. When you think about the environment in the coop, it's dusty. There is bedding in there. There are feathers in there. There are chickens in there that sometimes, you know, flip out and fly into the light. It's just too risky. So, there is a panel. Anyway, what I was saying is these panel heaters, they're really made to heat up the chickens' bodies, rather than the entire coop. Although it could keep, you know, most likely it will keep the temperature inside the coop from freezing. I've been teaching about chickens for almost 10 years. It might actually be 10 years. Like, what year is it? My chickens are getting really old. A lot of my chickens are old, like 7, 8, 9, you know, even 6 is getting up there. 6, 7, 8, 9. One of them, I don't even know. She might be 10, 11. So that's something to consider. The other thing is if you have super duper young chickens, if they are, let's say they're 8 weeks old, they're fully feathered. They look like little miniature chickens. But if they have been under a heat lamp in a controlled, an area where the temperature is controlled, you cannot just put them outside. If the temperature is getting, you know, without any consideration about it, if the temperature is getting below 50, then you can't just, like, they can't experience that quick of a temperature drop. And I have seen, and it's just so sad, but I have seen in the chicken groups where people really just thought, you know, all the information I see says if they are fully feathered, they don't need any heat. But, you know, people really aren't thinking about, okay, but if you have newly feathered chickens, let's say you got your baby chicks in the fall, and it's the first time you've ever had baby chicks, and they become fully feathered in the winter, and it's getting below 50 or lower, below freezing, and you just put them outside. I've seen really awful things, and it's just heartbreaking to the people that has happened to. So I don't want that to happen to anybody. If you have newly feathered chicks, even though they are fully feathered, you have to gradually acclimate them to the temperature outside, especially if it's, you know, if it's getting pretty cold out there. So keep that in mind. So the reason why people are so adamant about, and I talked about this a little bit before, but the reason why they're so adamant about not heating coops in the winter is because of the terrible and appropriate reputation that heat lamps have, because they're such a big fire hazard. And then the other thing is that concerns many people, and rightfully so, is that if you are offering supplemental heat, and especially if it's something that really puts out a lot of heat and can make a big difference in the temperature in the coop, like a heat lamp, and the electricity goes out or the lamp goes out for whatever reason, then if it's a significant enough drop in temperature, you could be dealing with a really awful situation in the morning. So that is a legitimate concern that people will bring up. And what I always say is that you just have to weigh the risks. You know, if you're having severe problems like frostbite and you can't control it, if you're having respiratory issues and you can't control it, then I would say consider a safer, because anytime you introduce electricity into an area, there is a level of risk involved. But a safer heating option, like the Cozy Coop, and then the other one I talk about is the sweeter heater. And those are, they just don't get that hot. They're relatively low wattage. You put them near where the chickens are, and it offers just a little bit to take the edge off, but it's not something that is really going to cause this big fire hazard in your coop. And I definitely have, you know, I've known people that lost their whole flock, and it was devastating. But it certainly could even be worse than that. So I don't want that for any of you. I just want you to have all the information. All right. We are going to talk about the question that I got from a listener. Her name is Penny. Let's see what Penny has to ask today. First time chicken mama here. My three babies were born on September 13th and adjusting well. I love, love, love them. Also, I love, love, love your YouTube channel. Thank you. I'm wondering about the issue of water in the coop in the winter. I know humidity is the enemy for winter chicken keeping, but also I've heard that chickens should not be without water, even for a few hours. I live in Wisconsin, the frozen tundra. I call that the surface of Mars. And I wonder if I should keep at least a small amount of water in the coop for those nasty polar vortex days where we have sub-zero wind chill factors and temperatures. Oh, cold, 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 cold. You know, I think I would just turn into an ice cube if I had to live in Wisconsin. It's already hard for me up here. Yeah, my people are from the equator, okay? So this is cold enough, and it barely even gets to freezing here for like a week or whatever. All right, so the best case scenario would be for you to not have water in the coop. But I know that that's not possible for everybody. It really depends on what your setup is. You know, water has a tendency, even with a good setup, it has a tendency to leak. It has a tendency to drip. And of course, it does create, you know, it can create more condensation in the coop. You just always want the conditions in the coop to be as dry as possible. So that's why I say in some of my videos, like, if you can keep the water out of your coop, then do that. That being said, if you can't do that, it would be good if you could at least remove or empty the water for nighttime, because they absolutely do not need water at night. And even my chickens, like, I don't let my chickens out until a little bit after sunrise, because I live in a subdivision. I have neighbors that are very close to me, and I have a rooster. And even chickens can be loud, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, super loud. So I don't let them out of the coop like right when they wake up, and they don't have water in the coop. They get water as soon as I come out and give them water, and they are absolutely fine. They can't, it's not like, you know, if you leave them without water for 30 minutes in the morning or for an hour in the morning, that they are going to perish. That just will not happen. The main thing is that, and especially in winter, because they need plenty of drinkable, non-frozen water in the winter, you want them just to have access to water during the day. So yeah, I would just give them, if you can, make sure that they don't have water overnight in their coop, if it's possible. And then give them water when you're doing your chicken chores in the morning. And you know, if you have to put it in the coop, then that's what you have to do. And so this is actually a three-part question that Penny is asking. She also asks, besides condensation on the glass, which I have, if you've seen the inside of my coop, I have a wall that's just like a huge window. So you can really tell that there's some condensation going on in there. And I've had a heck of a time, just so you guys know that you're not alone in your efforts. I have had a heck of a time controlling condensation in my coop. And mainly because I have ducks. So, So there's that. But so Penny asked, besides condensation on the glass, any other way I can determine if the coop is ventilated enough? I have three operating windows. Two are well above the roost level, but I want to keep as much warmth in without keeping too much moisture in. So without, you know, really visiting your coop and seeing it, it's hard for me to tell whether or not it's enough for you. But I would say the main thing is that you just want to be able to, you know, that you should be able to tell from the state of the bedding. Like, is the bedding very dry? It should be dry. Where they are roosting, is there a lot of moisture buildup in that area? And you can see it on the walls. And sometimes even like mildew will appear, which would not be a good situation. So yeah, that's what I would keep an eye on. Just make sure that the bedding is dry. And, you know, of course, right after they've soiled the bedding, it's going to have some moisture in it, but it should dry relatively quickly. And I think that if you're really having a problem, you would likely be able to tell, because there would just be the moisture in the bedding of your coop. Is it okay to hang an insulated drape in front of their roosting bar to keep heat in and drafts down, or is that a recipe for trapping moisture? Sorry for all the questions. I'm a newbie that wants to keep her babies as comfy as possible. Well, that is okay, Penny. I'm an oldie, and I also want to keep my babies comfy. So please do not be sorry. This is how I make my living. As long as it also has ventilation, so you really don't want to just like seal them in that area. You want it to also be ventilated, but I think it's a great idea to have it blocking any drafts. I think, you know, they would definitely appreciate that. Just make sure that it's not sealing them in, which, you know, the way that I'm imagining it, I don't think that that could even be a possibility, because they have to get up onto the roost. But they do, just when chickens breathe at night, they are creating moisture. So you need them to have some ventilation where they are, but just not where there's drafts. Gosh, did that even make sense? You don't want there to be a draft, but you also don't want them to be like super closed in. So if you can put it up and it has like one side open or something, I think you'll be fine. Thank you so much for your question, Penny. That was a good one. And like I mentioned before, if you guys want to submit a question to be answered on Bok Talk, you can go to my website, welcomechickenlandia.com. And I think you should go there anyway, even if you don't want to submit a question, because there's a blog there with all kinds of information in it. And there's also merch on my website. You can be the envy of all your chicken friends and wear your Chickenlandia merch. So yes, but if you're going there to ask a question, you can go to the contact section. And there's a little area that says, ask a chicken question. So do it. I love to hear from you guys. I can't answer every single question, but it is delightful to hear from my fans. Okay, so I am now going to open up the chat for your questions. If you can please write your questions in all caps so that I can see them with these progressive lenses. All right. Laura J says, how do you deal with the time change and the chickens going to bed at 4:30? I'm just trying to deal with my kids going to bed at the right time and waking up at the right time. And oh gosh, I'm not a big fan of the daylight savings thing. You know, I mean, my chickens go to bed really early, and the days are certainly shorter right now. We're not getting a lot of eggs. That's what happens unless you supplement light. you will not be getting a lot of eggs at this time during the year when the days are so short. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know a good way to deal with that. You just got to tell them, you know, deal with it. tell that to your chickens and hopefully they'll say, okay. Sunny's Place asks, do I need to heat my small coop with my 6-year-old Buff Orpington? It stays dry and well ventilated, but we can get down to single digits in the middle of the winter. So I'm tempted to say no for him because he's a Buff Orpington and they're just so cold hardy. Now, if he's been sick in his life before, if he's had like respiratory issues, if he's had frostbite, then I might consider it. If you can do it, I don't think it would be, you know, a big problem. But that's something that, you know, at 6 years old, he's kind of at the edge. He's not like super duper old. So I would see how he does this year and evaluate it from there. I can't really say definitely whether or not you should. It's just one of those things that, you know, depending on how he's done his whole life, how hardy you feel like he is, you'll have to weigh the situation and decide. But he's not super duper old. So that's not a huge concern for me. Homesteading the Pioneer Way. I have a chicken that has a foot that is turned under and she is hobbling on it. So sometimes chickens are born like that, and that usually has to do with some problem in incubation, a problem with like a vitamin deficiency, which is usually a problem with incubation. It could be a genetic thing. When they're born with it, and I don't know how old your chicken is. Is it a baby chick or is it an older chicken? Oh, I will say first off, your best course of action always with something like this would be to consult a licensed veterinarian. And I'm not a veterinarian, so it's important that I say that up front. I know many people do not have access to a veterinarian, or they feel like, you know, look, I just can't take every chicken that has a problem to the vet. And I completely understand that. If it were me, what I would do first is try to straighten the foot out, maybe take like, it depends on how old they are, maybe create like a splint to kind of keep the foot out. And then I would supplement with some good chicken vitamins. It could be that it's just an irreversible thing, especially if they're older and they develop it and it goes for a little while without being treated. Or it could resolve itself. You know, if you can keep her in an area where she's not moving around too much and try it for a few days, and see if you see any improvement, then that's where I would start. If Lavender Lane Farm, if you have anything to add to that, can you tag Homesteading the Pioneer Way and let them know what you think? That is my consultant, somebody with lots and lots of experience when it comes to chickens. Blue Cobra asks, is it normal for young chickens to lay smaller eggs at first, then after a while they get bigger? Yep, it's normal. And, you know, you can get all kinds of weird variations at the beginning when their bodies are kind of figuring it out. But yeah, laying a small egg is very normal, and they will be smaller when they first start and then they start to get bigger. I mean, some chickens, they just start laying double yolks from the get-go. But that is definitely within the range of normal. Jacqueline K asks, do you need to slowly integrate a young silky cockerel into a flock with two hens? Are the hens grown? Are they older? My quick answer is yes, I would, just to be safe. You might not have to be super slow with the integration process. You may find that they integrate quickly and easily, But I would keep them separate from separate and seeing for at least a few days, and then try putting them together and see how that goes. And then you may, however that goes, you may or may not need to follow a slower integration process. Deborah Bjornson asks, I purchased a heated water bowl and plan on setting it up outside. Is that okay? No water inside. Yeah, that's okay. As long as it's, I have ducks. So I have to have a lot of water, and they have to be able to put their whole faces in the water. I have a big heated water, duck water, and then I have two dog water bowls, and they're all outside of my coop. One of them I keep, especially if it's snowing, I keep like right at the door of my coop on the steps. And then the others are outside the coop, but they're so like up against the wall that they don't get snowed on. Now, if you live in an area where it's, 10 feet of snow, they're going to get buried. So if it's a covered area, or if it's an area that's not going to get like snow barfed on it, then yes, that's absolutely fine. As long as it's a safe heated bowl, which usually that they are very safe and they're super low wattage. Colby Star asks, do you have any good homemade feed recipe that is good? Love your video so much. Thank you so much, Colby. Right now I don't have a feed recipe. There are many of them online that are great. I try to lean as natural as I can, and I understand that sometimes people can't do it as much as they would like because it's expensive sometimes to lean supernatural. Supernatural. That's expensive. How I feel supernatural right now. Chicken, super chicken lady. anyway, what was I talking about? So but the short answer is no, I don't have a recipe right now. I am working on that. One thing that I just would like it to be is not too expensive, because I see sometimes people spending more money making feed than they would if they were buying it. So, working on it. Sorry, I don't have that for you right now. Virginia Oakley asks, if it's below zero for a period of time, is it still safe? I have cold hardy breeds, Sussex, Easter Eggers, Americana, Morans. They are very likely going to be absolutely fine. Unless you are running into problems controlling the condensation in your coop with some good ventilation and a coop that isn't super drafty, those breeds are really tolerant of the cold. So I would not worry about it. Just keep an eye on them, especially if they're young. Those breeds are made. There are chickens in Minnesota with no supplemental heat, living in, like I said, on the surface of Mars. So, and they'll like come out and they'll still come out of their coop. And, my chickens don't do that. When it snows, they're like, what is this on the ground? We are staying in our coop all day, which I think they get that from me. But I think that those chickens are going to be absolutely fine. Homesteading the Pioneer Way says, we're talking about the chick with the foot. I got her as a day old chick. She has been fine. She is 2 months and just started. That does happen sometimes. A really great book that I like so much that talks about many of these things, and I am absolutely going to just completely forget the name of it now that I brought it up. What is it? Chicken Health Handbook? Lavender Lane Farm, is that it? Chicken Health Handbook. Great book. And I will put the link to that in the description and in the show notes. I'm also going to put the link to my video that I posted this past week about keeping your chickens alive in the winter in the show notes and in the description. But It's a great book to have, especially if you don't have access to a vet and you just really need a reference book. That, to me, is the best one to get. It just has such good information in it. I can't say enough good things about it. And I believe the author is Gail Damoreaux, and I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. It's one of those names that I read, but I don't say out loud very often. So you guys, we are going to have to sign off. I know I have a lot more questions here. Please visit my website, welcometochickenlandia.com, and read all the blogs, check out the merch, and then submit your question for to be possibly featured on Bok Talk so you can be chicken famous. I do want to say one more thing. I'm absolutely not saying that you need to heat your coop, because in most cases, you do not need to heat your coop. It's rare cases, and those are the ones that I mentioned. If you have super old chickens, if you have super young chickens, or if you have an extraordinary situation where you're not able to control the moisture level in your coop and you're running into problems, those are really the three reasons that I say you might need to offer supplemental heat. But remember, your situation with your flock is unique. You are special, and every situation is different. So I want to thank my producer. I produced this episode, and also Kelsey from Lavender Lane Farms helped me to produce this episode. Thank you to Talking to Crows for editing this for the podcast. And guys, I want you to, no matter what happens in the chicken groups, and no matter what happens tomorrow, I want you to remember, you're always welcome in Chickenlandia. Bye, guys. Have a great night.
Dalia Monterosso, also known as the president of Chickenlandia, is a backyard chicken educator in Northwest Washington. To submit your question to Bok Talk, visit welcometochickenlandia.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.